reminded of Tom Tarvin. When I was 18 years old, Tom Tarvin came into my life in a very unexpected way. I was with a friend of mine. His name was Mark, and Mark and I were getting ready to go out on the town as unbelievers, having a good time. And Mark was supposed to be having a Bible study with Tom Tarvin. And so we got over there to tell Mark there wasn't going to be any Bible study because we were going out on the town. And Mark began to ask me, Tom began to ask me, did you know that God's got a plan for your life? I said, never thought about it. I got lots of plans, and my plans aren't working real good. And he began to share the gospel of Christ with me. I got saved that day. I prayed to receive Christ that day with Tom. But the thing I want to share with you is he started visiting me and discipling me, and it made an impression on me because he didn't even know me. But what I saw in Tom was the love of Jesus Christ. From the inception of knowing him and from the time he spent with me, he demonstrated to me the love of Jesus Christ. There were many things in my life that need to be changed. Obviously, outwardly, if you looked at me, you'd be able to know there are lots of things in his life that need to be changed. But Tom did not strike, swords at me addressing the outward things. He led me to know and love Jesus Christ. And as I came to know and love Jesus Christ, God himself began to show me the things he wanted to change in me, not only outwardly, but the things he wanted to change in me inwardly. And it was because of love. It was because of sincere love, the power of the love of Jesus Christ. Now, with that said, we're going to preach a whole message here on agape love. In the section of scripture I read, there's 15 verses. 23 times in 15 verses, the word love is used. Now, that makes it easy as far as picking out the title for the sermon. You're certainly going to have in the title of the sermon the word love, because 23 times the word love is mentioned in 15 verses. The reason why we call this sermon agape love is because the Greek word is agape. When the Bible refers to God's love, unconditional love, self-denying, self-sacrificing, unconditional God's love is the word agape. And as you know, in our church, once a month, as the COVID virus allows, we have a time of fellowship once a month, have a dinner once a month. We call it agape, agape feast, agape love time, agape dinner. Why do we call it agape dinner? Why do we call it agape feast? Because it's a time for us as believers to demonstrate in the reality of our time together agape love, so that people in the world will know we are truly Christ's disciples. There's a lot of sharpening in the church that needs to take place for us to develop agape love. We people in the church have a long ways to go in our pilgrimage with Christ. Can anybody say amen to that? We sharpen each other. And we need time together to have the one another ministries take place so we can be perfected in the love of Christ. Now, I'd like to speak first of all about the source of God's agape love. The source of God's agape love. In 1 John, if you look again at chapter 4, it says, love is of God, in verse 7. Love is of God. The source of agape love is it must come from God. We do not naturally have agape love inside of us. The natural love we have has to do with the kingdom of self. Apart from Jesus Christ and his life and his love, Our love is tainted just like our righteousness is tainted. Remember what the Bible says about all our righteousness? What does it say about our righteousness apart from Christ's righteousness? It's filthy rags. And if we try to love with natural love and we don't have the love of Christ in us, the life of Christ in us, and His love and His life flowing through us, there will be no agape love unless it's Christ's life living through us. So it's not something that we can generate. Agape love is not something we can generate, produce, or manufacture. It has to be imparted to us. It has to be given to us. It has to be received by us. We have to appropriate it by faith. I don't know how many times, you know, God's convicted all of us. One moment we can be in the spirit and the very next moment, just a minute or two later, be in the flesh. If we're not sensitive to responding to life situations from God's frame of reference by faith, and especially with agape love with people. Especially with agape love with people. In James talks about the wisdom that comes down from above, and God's love, God's agape love has to come down to us from above. God has to impart it to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Most of you are probably familiar with Ephesians chapter 3. There's two prayers in Ephesians. One prayer is in chapter 1, the end of chapter 1. The second prayer is in the end of chapter 3. And after three chapters in Ephesians of talking about the blessedness of God's provision to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, all the blessedness of all that God has provided to us in Jesus Christ, he sums it up in how we should pray a prayer about God's love. This is a great prayer to pray in your prayer life. These prayers that God gives us in His Word, if we can pray our way through it in our own prayer life. He gives us a prayer about agape love in Ephesians chapter 3. And let me just turn over there myself. He's talking about that we would be able to be rooted and grounded in agape love. The reason why there's such vacillation and such up and down experience in our Christian life, we're not stable. We're not making progress on the upward way the way we should. We're kind of roller coaster type experience. It's because we don't understand how to be rooted and grounded in agape love. When you understand agape love and you're living out agape love, do you know that verse in the Bible says, love covers. What does love cover? Anybody remember that verse? Love covers a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that, you know, you hide the sin. You're able to resolve the sin problem when you understand God's agape love. You're able to overcome the sin problem when you understand agape love. When you when this prayer is answered in Ephesians 3, it will take care of many sin problems in your life. Amen. Because the whole Old Testament is about how to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets was all revealing to us, not only showing us our sin, but showing us God's love, how to love each other. And so when this prayer is answered and we're living in the purity of the love of Christ, we will be overcoming sins that we thought we could not ever overcome. The power of God will be manifested through understanding agape love and living out through the life of Christ agape love. Now let's look at this in chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees. It's a good thing to get down on your knees when you pray this prayer. The devil doesn't want anybody really getting their heart right with God. And I guarantee you the devil will battle you if you start praying this prayer and you really want to live this prayer out. It's a good thing to get down on your knees with it before God. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. Now notice, you can't produce it. You can't manufacture it. You can't try hard to be an agape loving person. It has to be granted to us. We have to be enabled by God to do this. We have to have God supernaturally enabling us. Not just praying this prayer once, but constantly praying this prayer. God, help me not to respond in the flesh. Help me not to be carnal. Don't let the anger come up. Don't let the bitterness come up. Don't let all that ugliness of the flesh be made manifest. God, I need you to show me how to love in this situation. How your love conquers in this situation. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. We're talking about power. We're talking about supernatural power in the inner man. Strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart, be at home in your heart, close to him, nearness to him, intimacy of fellowship with him, intimacy of worship given to him. When this prayer is answered, your love life with God is going to grow stronger and deeper and fuller. And as I've been working on this message, there's one thing God showed me crystal clear to me. If a person, me, anybody, if a person is not in love with God, they are not able to love anybody else right. How is my love life with God? How many times do I tell God in prayer, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, if I don't understand his love for me, we just read it in 1 John 4. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. If I don't understand his love for me, I'm not going to love him. So I need to pray. And I need to ask God, God, open my eyes to your love. Open my heart to your love. When God opens your eyes and opens your heart to his love, what will happen to the fears you have in your life? Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, there's the fear of man. Fear of man's a big problem. It's a big problem. So much of how we conduct ourselves is based on what we want people to think of us. Or we want to have the acceptance of people. And guaranteed, you cannot please people. Guaranteed. The fear of man, the Bible says the fear of man puts a person into a snare. Amen? Now, if I'm concerned about what people think of me, I don't understand agape love. Agape love is giving to others. I pointed out in the wedding yesterday, Jesus said this. His life was characterized by agape love. If you want to understand agape love, look at the life of the Lord. There's lots to learn about agape love in his life. He said, I came not to be ministered unto. I'm not doing what I'm doing to try to get something back from others. Agape love is giving to others, ministering to others, serving others without expecting anything in return. I'm not trying to get somebody's acceptance. I'm not trying to get somebody's approval. I'm not trying to get somebody's praise. I'm not trying to get somebody thinking I'm the best person come around lately. Agape love is concerned about what others can receive from God as true sincere love is manifested. That's why when we started the construction worker luncheon, I said from the start, we're not trying to get anything from you. I told the people that were coming. I said, we're not trying to get anything from you. We're trying to give as much as we can to you. If somebody wants to come and eat a meal and leave because they know I'm getting ready to speak, and all they want is to have a meal, no problem. No problem. You give to the extent that you can give, and you trust God as sincere love is being made manifest. The seeds are planted. Wow, there's something different about the love going on here. It's not natural love. What kind of love is it? Supernatural. It's God's love. And that's why I had to sing that hymn, when nothing else could help. When people see genuine love, I guarantee you. And I tell you right now, the world's screaming for love. They're screaming for the true manifestation of love. The world says, you know, we should be loving each other. But listen, you can't love each other right without Jesus Christ. Amen? If you don't have Christ, you won't have the agape love. You won't have the ability of agape love. And if you don't have agape love flowing through you, when the love relationships are going on the human level, they're going to fail. They're going to fall short. And so that's why Jesus said, you will keep on hearing in the world of wars and rumors of war. There's no resolution to it. There's no peace. There's no true love until we receive Jesus Christ and believe on Jesus Christ. And we have His love through us, His life through us. So the fear of man, a fear of man can be overcome. The fear of man. Let's keep reading this prayer. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, verse 17, by faith. He's not talking about when you first get saved here. He's talking about minute by minute, moment by moment, that Christ could be made manifest and not be carnal and not be fleshly, not be worldly. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And how do you know if Christ is dwelling in your heart by faith? You'll be rooted and you'll be grounded in agape love. You'll be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Boy, that's the measure, the measurement of God's love, the vastness of it. We can't even begin to comprehend the vastness of the measurement of God's love. But once you start to just get a little bit of understanding of it, it starts to set you free. Starts to set you free. Free from fear. Free from worry. Free from anger. Free from bitterness. Free from holding offense towards another person. It sets you free. Because you're not trying to get something from somebody. We get hurt because we're focused on what we should be receiving. But if you're giving, expecting nothing in return, you can't be offended. Amen? You can't be offended if you're not expecting anything in return. Now, it's easy to talk about this. It's quite another thing to live it. But it's Old Testament and New Testament, because in the Old Testament it says, great peace have they that love God's law. And I've already said the whole law revealed to us how to love God and love each other. Great peace have they that love God's law. Remember what the rest of it says? In nothing will that person be offended. You know, revival takes place when we begin to discover how to release others from our offenses that we're holding against others. That's how so many revivals have started. It starts with overcoming the bitterness, overcoming the anger, overcoming the resentment. All that is inside of you. You know, the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your He's talking to believers. Let not the sun go down on what? Your wrath. Because if you have some ill will towards somebody else, you know what the next verse says? You give place to. Who do you give place to? As a believer, who do you give place to? You give place to the devil. You give place to the powers of darkness. This is a spiritual battle. I guarantee you the powers of darkness do not want agape love functioning, because when agape love is functioning, the powers of darkness can't work in that place. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing that ran down upon Aaron's beard, down to his garments. And it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For in that place, in that assembly, with that group of people, it says, God will command. What will God command? He'll command his blessing. Now, if we want the blessing, we got to have the agape love, which produces the unity. Amen? And when that's in place, God commands his blessing to be there. Verse 19, that we might know the love of Christ. This is not human love. This is not natural love. This is not me trying to love. This is the love of Christ. This is Christ loving through me. And it passes human comprehension. I can't begin to fully understand it. It's so vast. It's so immense. It's so much bigger than me. It's so much bigger than I ever dreamed possible. That such a fountain could flow. I want to say something here about the flow of agape love. It's very important for the flow of agape love that I don't do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit, to quench the Holy Spirit, so the flow of agape love can't take place. I want you to, I don't know, how many of you have been to Helen, Georgia? Some of you? Okay, quite a few of you. If you go to Helen, Georgia, you'll see a grist mill over there. Yeah, at least we did. And most everybody knows what a grist mill is. It's got the water wheel. And when the water turns the water wheel, it grinds the wheat. Now, the water has to be channeled to the water wheel. If the water is not channeled to the water wheel, it's not going to turn and it's not going to grind the wheat. Now, in terms of the spiritual realities of life, we need the flow of agape love turning the water wheel of our life so that we're dying to self and the love of Christ can be manifested through us. So what is the diverter that channels the flow of the water? Jesus said, out of your innermost being, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. When this agape love is released and allowed to flow, what's the diverter that channels the water so the rivers of living water can flow through us? It has to do with our will. It has to do with our will. We either are stubborn and hard and self-willed, or we're broken and yielded and meek in our will. That's why Jesus said, if you want rest for your soul and you want the fountain to flow, he said, if you're burdened down with life, burdened down with the life experience, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. And what will you find? Listen, you can't love somebody when you don't have rest in your own soul. Amen. The least little thing, you get irritated about it. You're all coiled up inside and somebody bumps into you and you lash out with the carnality of the flesh. But when you have rest in your soul because of your security of a love, intimacy, relationship with Jesus Christ, you are set free for the rivers of the waters of his life to flow. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest for your soul. Learn of me. Now, here's the key. I have to yield my will to what? His will. If I do not yield my will, I'm talking about in the moments of our life, in the minutes of our life, in the seconds of our life. It's kind of like this week I was praying. I wanted to go up and visit Janice Lawless. She lives with Jana in Morganton, North Carolina. And it's about a 2-hour drive up there. And I felt the Lord strongly wanted me to go today. I was planning on going today. As soon as I was done preaching, making the trip up there, she's under hospice care, and I felt led to go up there and visit with her and pray with her. And I was willing to do, I wanted to do the Lord's will, even though it's with our move going on, it's kind of challenging for it to take this trip. But Jana texted me, and she said, "Do you realize we got snow coming up here?" I said, "Do you mean to tell me that the Lord would create a snowstorm up there?" She said, "You can come another time. You can come another time." And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." But my point is, am I willing to do the will of God and not be wrapped up in myself? Am I so consumed with myself that I miss the opportunity for that fountain of living water to flow to others? It happens all the time in life. We're so weighed down with our problems, our needs, our struggles, our cares, our burdens, our situations. We need to get our mind off ourselves. Amen? We need to get our mind off ourselves. Agape love is giving to others. Giving to others. Jesus said, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." That's the agape love. So the water will flow when we have a meek, yielded will. Jesus said, "Learn of me, for what am I?" He said, "I am what? Meek and lowly." A person that's meek is not claiming their rights, is not focused on their self. A person that's meek is looking of how can I be broken before God so that God can do something through me to help others, to meet others' needs. It's kind of like God's got to do a miracle. The Bible says, I think Jesus said this, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Self-love comes naturally. You don't have to work at it. It's there. Self-love is there. Self-focus is there. No wonder Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you have to die to self and follow me. Paul, when he wrote Philippians, he said, "I have no man like-minded." He said, "I'm sending Timothy because," he says, "there's no man like him that is..." He said, "Most of the time you're focused on yourself, but he's focused on others." I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it's in Philippians 2. It's in the same chapter where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The mind in Christ Jesus, even when he was hanging on the cross with pain and suffering and agony and bleeding and being scorned and being ridiculed, his mind was saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He was thinking of others, praying for others. He turned to the thief on the cross. Who was he thinking about when he was on the cross? He was thinking about the man next to him that needed to come to know him in a saving way. The Lord is our example of agape love. He's our example of agape love when he hung on the cross. That's how the fountain flows. Let's pray together. Our Father, we can't properly love in a marriage relationship without being in love with you. We can't properly parent our children with loving parenting without being in a love relationship with you. We can't have church interaction properly without being in love with you. If we're not in love with you, we'll not be able to love each other properly in our church fellowship, our church interaction. We can't go out to the community and have the right attitude, the right disposition at the grocery store or the bank, or when all the talk is going on, like your word talks about, do all things without murmuring, without disputing. Everywhere you go, you hear the murmuring and the disputing. Lord, we ought to be different than that. If we have agape love, and if we know all our needs are met in you, the sufficiency of your Son, the adequacy of your Son, the fullness of the life of your Son, we are freed from the fear of man, freed from the fear of what man is doing. We thank you that you love us with a perfect love, and perfect love cast out all fear. And so I pray for every home, every marriage, every person, every parent, every teenager, every child. I pray for those that are elderly. I pray for the babies of the church, the babies yet to be born. I pray, Father, for the young marrieds. I pray for the ones that have grandchildren. I pray for all of us as believers. And I pray that in this pilgrimage and in this journey through life, I pray you'd help us to have spiritual eyesight and spiritual hearing and spiritual taste. May we have spiritual senses, spiritual alertness. How am I doing in my love relationship with God? Because if my love relationship with God is not what it should be, there's going to be a breakdown in all the other relationships of life. And so, Father, I pray you teach us how to pray this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 and really mean it from our heart and really be able to be rooted and be able to be grounded and not to be up and down and roller coaster experience, but to have a solid, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day because I'm coming more and more into the understanding of God's perfect love for me. And I'm set free to love others in the same way He loves me. Beloved, if God has so loved us, let us also love one another in the same way. And so, Father, thank you for this fountain. And thank you that one day you're going to take the sin nature out of us. One day we're going to have a glorified body. But we also thank you, Father, we don't have to wait for the day that we don't have a sin nature anymore. Greater is Jesus Christ who lives in us. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And I pray that we would enter into a faith journey, relationship with you in all the moments of our day, that the flesh and the sin nature would not have the opportunity to be manifest because we've got our focus on the love that you have, the love that you've given, the love that you've imparted, and your perfect love will cast out whatever fears we have in all the moments of our days of this life, including that right up until the time we take our last breath and have our departure to be with you. We don't have to fear whatever comes our way in life if we understand your love. So, Lord, I pray you'd impart it to us just like that prayer in Ephesians talks about. May we receive it by faith. May we yield our will to the water will of your perfect love that flows through your Son's life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.